Good morning. As we continue to gather, I invite you to turn in your blue hymnal worship book to number 407. 407. We are people of God's peace.
On this third Sunday of Easter, the wonderful weather that we have outside, for me anyways, it's just like on Sunday mornings, God gives us an extra warm embrace. And having these flowers out here is also wonderful. So we are on this journey towards joy together. An angel appeared at a meeting of religious leaders and told their leader that in return for this leader's unselfish and exemplary behavior, God will reward the leader with a choice of infinite wealth, wisdom, or beauty. Without hesitating, the leader chose infinite wisdom. "Done," says the angel, and disappears in a cloud of smoke and a bolt of lightning. Now all heads turned toward the leader who sat surrounded by a faint halo of light. One of the others whispered, "Say something." The leader sighs and says, "I should have taken the money." While this may be the wisdom most of our capitalistic society would agree with, is this the kind of life-giving wisdom we need that will result in deep joy? Join with me this day in this call to worship that helps us focus on God. Join with me this wonderful morning in this worship service calling us toward real wisdom, hopefully compelling us towards authentic growth, ending in deep, rich joy. Join with me this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and grow.
We have chosen life.
It is in living relationships that we give and receive, resulting in kingdom, community.
We have chosen community.
God calls us to search and find wisdom. We will lack nothing when we grow in maturity. Wisdom is a tree of life for those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed.
We choose a life of growth and maturity. The risen Christ lives in our journey toward maturity.
Let us pray together. God of all riches and grace, help us focus our thoughts that we might spend time in your presence learning from you and worshiping you. Help us become the people you want us to be, permeated with your Spirit, reflecting a deep and abiding peace and filled with joy. Thank you that you love us. Amen. Let us continue in songs of praise.
In your purple, sing the story, number 34. Just a bit note of instruction for this one. You'll see that there's a part one and a part two, and those parts go together really well. So we're going to sing part one as a congregation, and then at that point, I invite you to split up, and some of you will go on to part two, and some of you will stay at part one, and then we'll kind of keep going back and forth for a bit until we're done. So I invite you to stand in body and or spirit as we join in praising our God together. You may not need it. 546, Guide My Feet. And it says verses 1 and 6 are both Guide My Feet. When we get to verse 6, we're going to sing Give Me Joy to go with our theme of this season and Easter.
Thank you.
The ushers can come forward for the offering. Let us pray together. God of all riches and grace, you are generous, and you give us all good and perfect gifts. As we gain wisdom and maturity, may we give our lives to you. Use all that we have and all that we give for your glory, and may peace and love be the result of our giving today. Amen. I invite at this time Marius to come forward. I have asked Marius to do today's six-sentence story, or a story in six sentences. I found it's a little bit easier way of saying it. I asked Marius, how have you found joy? How have you made choices towards maturity and growth that have brought joy or have been difficult but show growth and movement towards adulthood? What choices have you made showing movement towards identity or caring for others? Those were the questions, those were the words that I gave Marius, and so I'm excited to hear what he has to say. In six sentences.
Good morning. Here's my six-ish sentence story. How have I found joy? That's easy, by being my most authentic self. I've learned a lot about myself in this past year. For example, I enjoy talking with my hands, embracing my more flamboyant side, being an activist, and listening to Beyonce. How have I matured? I've started to count my blessings and take all the little good things in life as victories because sometimes that's all you can have. My mentality used to be either I'm doing great or I'm laying broken in my bed and there's no in between. Now I've learned that through the power of love and God and my community that life is worth living and that finding joy in hard times is possible.
Thanks, Marius. So, Jane, have you ever been woke?
Get the grammar right, Steve. Have I ever been awakened or am I awake?
Well, I mean, I guess you're right about the grammar piece. I mean, you are standing here, you know, vertically next to me, but that really doesn't mean that you're woke or not. So, are you woke?
Woke. Well, I guess each day I wake up from sleep, but I derive from the use of an improper form of the verb that you're talking about something different than that. And since I preach this, it seems like all the time you're asking if I'm conscious and aware. You have some intelligent direction in my life. Is that what you're asking? Well, I did. I made a choice to be woke.
So, if you preach about this all the time, Being woke must really be important to you. Why do you think this is so important? I mean, as opposed to being baptized or being a member of this church, isn't that enough? What does being woke do for you?
Well, I think to me it's being more active. One sleeps and wakes regularly, but one must continually wake up out of the sleep that the world wants to put us in. Well, baptism is very important. It's a beginning ritual to an awakening, yes. And membership in a church can help us stay awake, or sadly, it can put us to sleep. But being awake together, now that is rich.
So, but what do you do to stay awake? I mean, constantly drink coffee? I mean, that sounds pretty good to me.
Well, it's for me being like on a path, a constant learning, never coming to an end of understanding about life. It's the world opening up to us with gifts that are incredibly large and amazing. And it's a positive force in life, like the force of a plant that grows up out of the ground, pushing one towards more. It makes me think of Jesus' words, which is one of my mantras: ask and you will receive, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open.
So as we make our way on this joy path, choosing to be woke is a big thing.
Yes, I think so. When I hear stories like Marius just gave us, speaking about their decision to wake up and how it has affected their life, I am full of joy. So let's add our third step on this path toward conscious maturing or wakeness. It just doesn't happen on its own. So here we go. The new creation we are, choosing the radical life of the new creation that's birthed in Jesus.
The second part is community. We choose community, a place to belong and grow at every age and every stage of our lives.
And third, consciously awake. We choose a life of conscious growth and spiritual maturity, a life of being awoke.
We are going to sing a song that is new to us, although the tune is more or less familiar. There's some slight changes. But this one's called Spirit Open My Heart, and it's a little bit to the same tune as My Soul is Filled with Joy. So that'll be projected up here, and hopefully you'll get a hang of it by the end.
Thank you.
Georgina. What are you doing?
I'm packing my bags. I'm taking off. Time to see the world.
Oh, cool. Where are you going?
I don't know. I just know it's time. I am totally sick of my parents bossing me around all the time. I need some independence.
Oh, so you're not going with your family? I thought you were taking a family vacation. This summer, I'm going to the beach with my family, and I'm so excited. Hey, kids, are any of you going on vacation this summer?
Well, good for you all. I'm not going with anyone. I am running away.
Running away? Why would you do that?
Because I'm 12.
What does that have to do with it?
Didn't you read the Bible story today? When Jesus was 12, he ran away from his parents.
Oh, geez. Georgina, I think you missed the point of that story.
Nope, I read it. It says when Jesus was 12, his family was in Jerusalem with lots of other families. And when it was time to go, Jesus didn't go with his parents. He stayed. Hung out on his own. So that's what I'm going to do. Ready for independent living, baby. Oh, yeah.
Georgina, do you remember where Jesus' parents found him?
On his own, doing his own thing.
No.
Well, I stopped reading the story there because I decided, hey, I'm 12, better do like Jesus.
Well, Jesus didn't intentionally leave his parents to be independent. He went to the synagogue to study the Bible.
You mean on my super duper independent expedition, I have to go to church?
I mean, you don't have to run away at all. The point is, Jesus was growing up and started taking responsibility.
Aha, so you think it's responsible to run away?
No, I think it's responsible to read the Bible on your own without your parents telling you you have to. As we grow up, we learn more and more responsibility. When we're babies, we can't do anything for ourselves. But by the time we're big and old like the grown-ups, we have to be able to do things. It's a long journey of maturing and becoming responsible.
Oof, I know babies are not responsible. I live with Belen, and she can't do anything. She unrolls all the toilet paper at home and makes a mess. And Ada, you should see her eat. Babies are definitely not responsible.
Yes, but as we get older, we learn things and start to take responsibility. Kids, how many of you get dressed on your own in the mornings? How many do your homework for school? How many brush your teeth?
Psst. Belen doesn't even brush her teeth. She just chews on the toothbrush.
Yeah, so please see, we learn things as we grow up and become more responsible. It's fun to grow up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's joyful to grow up.
Just like Jesus took on more responsibility as he was growing up, so should we.
Okay, but that is a little confusing because I was trying to be like Jesus running away, remember?
Well, we might need some help from our friends and family to make sure we understand everything right so we know how to behave like Jesus. We need community on the path to growing up.
That's right. Speaking of community, I'm going to go find Belen and teach her not to unravel all the toilet paper.
Good luck with that, Georgina.
See you later.
Bye, kids. And remember to start being responsible for the things you can do.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 2, 41 to 52, and it talks about Jesus, the boy in the temple. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was with the group of travelers, they went a day's journey, and then they started to look for him among the many relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Jesus were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in God's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor, because he was woke.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God, who leads us on the way. Amen. Well, it's been a gift to me to sit in the congregation today and hear all the little babies making their noises. You know, I can get agitated, which I do sometimes, and I can also give myself to it and recognize that what a gift it is to be in a community where we care about our children. And today I'm speaking about something that's very, very real and close to my heart. A few weeks ago, I don't see Mark and Louise here, but they gave me a book by James Wilder called The Complete Guide to Living with Men. I'm not sure why they gave me that book, but I did find it to be extremely interesting, and I recommend this book. It's very Christian, very oriented toward a maturing faith. And it starts with the infant and the child. And when I was reading this book about the infant and the child, in the middle of that time, Jess William brought over Belen, and Jonna was there, and we were sitting around, and I'm learning from James Wilder that the responsibility of me as a grandparent, as them as a parent, is to help our children return to joy camp. What a lovely phrase, to return to joy camp. And so while we're sitting there and Belen gets frustrated about something, I don't remember what it was, but you could see this attitude, and I'd say, okay, time to return Belen to joy camp. Or she fell on the floor at one point. She started crying, and I don't know, one of us said, okay, time to help her return to joy camp. It was a gift to me to recognize what it is that we do. We're not disciplining our children. We're not making them into certain people. I think we're returning them to joy. Marius, you hit a bingo with me, because that is what you explained at the very end there. I'm learning to return to joy camp. I'm returning that laying on my bed isn't the greatest place to be. And we could name that something too, but we're naming where we want to be, joy camp. So we look forward as grandparents and as people who watch other children grow up in our congregation to see our children learn on the path in childhood. They have many tasks that are important in childhood. They have to learn how to do hard things in life. And they're learning it in childhood. We can either teach them or we can get in their way. They're learning about all the stories that make them who they are. They're learning the family stories. I remember Jim's mother, Beulah, and Jim himself can tell wonderful stories, could tell and told our children these wonderful stories about her childhood and her family. And it It grew in them, and it helped them become who they were. And so I learned from her, actually, not hearing many of those in my own house in the same way, about how to encourage growth and faith and belonging by the stories that we tell. And we tell the stories of God's house to our children. Remember, Jesus comes at 12 years old. He's already well-versed in the stories of God. He's been actually probably, although we don't know for sure, Luke didn't tell us, but we think probably because his parents went every year to Jerusalem. This isn't the first trip he took there. But this is a pivotal trip. But we learn, we're telling and teaching our children God's stories. And we're also, they're also, as young children growing up, learning to be part of a family, of a community. They're learning to take risks. Oh, my goodness, it's so interesting to be with Belen at the park. You know, she wants to climb up the ladder backwards, and she wants to do this and that. She wants to do this on her own. She's learning, learning about being an adult. She's learning to take risks, to do it herself. And she also, and all children, have to learn to take control of themselves, to be controlled people. And aware of others. This is the path of children. Now, interestingly enough, one of the things that caught me in Wilder's book, I was debating whether to say this, but I just can't help it. So this is me talking for sure. But one of the things that caught me in Wilder's book was he said, most men are still infants and children. Sorry, men, sorry. I liked this book. Oh, but he went on to say that many women are also infants and children. In our society, in our culture, it's a task to grow up. Our country is a country of individualization. And this childhood is where I'm important. I'm learning. It's about me. But adulthood isn't. Adulthood is about all of us. And that's very hard to learn, I guess. So, here in our story today, the story of really a rite of manhood, I suppose, Jesus goes to the temple as a 12-year-old. And he is old enough and think he can do it. He's in the temple, and the thing he does is what adults are supposed to do in that culture, and I think in ours too, asking questions of his teachers, finding answers to the things that are on his heart and mind. And he's so engaged with this ritual that he forgets to go home. He doesn't think about leaving at the time when he is to leave. And so he remains in the temple on his own for 3 days. Note that. You know, there's all kinds of signs in the Gospels about the greater story. 3 days. We remember just recently, Jesus was somewhere else for 3 days. That made a big difference in his life, too. So Jesus is in the temple for 3 days. His parents come back and are asking him, "What have you done?" You know, Mary's sort of upset about this, and I can imagine that Jessica and all of us, if we were separated from our children for 3 days, what would we wonder? Where are they? I mean, our minds would go to some horrific, horrific things. So we can imagine that Mary's mind and Joseph's mind was also in a state of very much concern. And so when they find him in the temple, rather than saying, "Wow, look at him. He is now becoming an adult. He's asking questions of these wonderful teachers, and he's doing just what he ought to do," they say, "What have you done, Jesus?" How like parents today, no? We forget to look beyond our own fears and our own world to see what might be happening in our children's lives. So Jesus chose to go to the temple and learn. But then he also said to his mother, "Don't you know that I am to be in my Father's house?" Or in my God's house. "In the house of my God, I need to learn." And it kind of rolled off Mary's heads too, it seems like. But she did, I think, hear it. Jesus, at 12-year-old, was ready to step into manhood. And he made the choice to begin the path. Now, I think that's a path that all of us can choose. Maybe not at 12. We in the United States give our young people this adolescent stage. We don't even name it young adult anymore, although they are. But at 12 years old, they move into adolescence. They're almost going to be an adult. But we have a lot of ropes and ties on them. They need it, yeah, in our culture. So that's okay. But we all can move and choose to be adults. Now, interestingly enough, this week, while I was preparing for this sermon, several things came my way. To me, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So I went looking for a book to listen to, and I came across J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy. Have any of you heard it or seen it or know what I'm talking about? Some of you are shaking your head. It's a book that I'd read things about or excerpts from, but I'd never read the whole thing. But anyway, there was one section in there that just really struck me when I was thinking about our choices to mature and the ways that we do this and the fact that many people don't. He talked about his life as a child and into his early high school years. And he said, well, he could make a long story long, but I'm going to make this long story short. He said his mother was an addict, was constantly in and out of drug works and had jobs and not jobs. She had men in the home, and they turned over and over. His life was chaotic, to say the least. He said that when he went to school, he watched the clock because he hated it when school was over and he had to go home. His life was chaos. He couldn't really make the choice to become an adult. Wasn't a possible choice for him. He said finally when he was a sophomore in high school, his mother got incarcerated. And his grandmother, who was really the stable point of his life, said, "You move in with me. I will take care of you." And that is when he began to move in a direction that could be called adult. Now, that was one story. But then Tuesday evening, some of us were at the jail ministry banquet. And what was so intriguing to me about that was the person, the ex-prisoner that they invited to do testimony, talked about his long years, his years of what he went through as a child, 14 years incarcerated, making choices toward gangs and drugs, and just the mess his life was in. And it wasn't until it sounded like Elkhart County Jail, surrounded by the chaplains who loved him and helped him to get on a path, that he was now able to stand and say, "I'm trying really hard to become an adult, to be good, to be like Jesus. And I am really using Jesus and the wisdom that Jesus gives me to make that path. It has been very, very difficult." That was very interesting to me. Here I am, you know, all fired up about we can do this, we can make paths to being adult, and recognizing that, hey, in sometimes in our world, it's just not very possible. And actually, as Wilder said, we have a lot of infant children, men and women around us. So what an important thing for us as we are the age of adults and sometimes even the elder adults, talking to myself, to remember the path we're on, the direction we're going, and the choices that we're making, so that the community that we are part of and we are growing and working at is a community that actually can nurture children and our young people to something other than what was than towards the wrong. Now, in our world, we don't often have these rites of passage in the same way as some tribal groups did. But I think right now we're in a part of our year when we do have it. I've been I have come to decide that high school graduation is sort of a rite of passage in a way. That we've kept our children and we're working with them and everything, and finally when they graduate from high school, we say, okay, now you're an adult. Great, you know. But you know, it doesn't always happen that way. I was with a college graduate this week and talking to him, and I have this on my mind, you know, and I'm asking him about things that he's been studying and reading about, because I'm always interested. I like to learn from all the people that I meet, and I like to read books. Oh, I wanted to tell you a story, though, about this other guy, first of all. Another friend of a child, one of my children, we were sitting with him, and I was asking that question, what are you reading? What are you studying? And because that's a question I always ask to find out, are you growing? You know, are you learning? Who are you learning from? What are you learning about? And he kind of put his arm around the thing. I think I might have told you this. It was such an astonishing story to me. Now, he was a person that thought he knew a lot, because he talked to us a lot. But anyway, he said, yeah, I've decided I don't really need to read books. What I really want to learn is all inside of me. And I thought, oh, great, great. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to engaging him more. So this young man who just graduated from college, we were talking, and I started talking about we're going to be talking about adult. I don't even know if I started it. But anyway, he said, well, you know, I have to become an adult now. I thought, oh, it's college graduation. That's our rite of passage. And in some ways it is. But I said, well, what does that mean for you? What does it mean to be an adult? How does that change your life? Because I thought maybe I'll learn something here too. Well, he gave me four very, very good ideas about being an adult. Number one, he says, well, I'm going to have to become intentional about things. Well, what a great thing. That's a great idea, isn't it? When we are adults, when we're really living our life consciously awake, intentionality is extremely important. What I'm doing today when I wake up, and what is the path I'm going to walk on? So that's adult behavior, intentionally thinking about what we're doing. Secondly, he said, I got to find my notes, and I'm not sure. Oh, I had it on the wrong page. No wonder. It was on the back page. Okay. Secondly, he said, I'm going to have to identify who actually I am and the gifts that I have. Now, I've been studying a lot of things, and I've really enjoyed my study. He had three majors, and they were all kind of non-job related majors. But anyway, he had three majors. He said, I have to really kind of come to terms with the gifts that God gave me and who I am. And then I have to take the responsibility of getting a job so I can pay for my life and for the people that I love. Oh, well, what a wonderful idea. That is an adult behavior, isn't it? Yes, we have to match our work and the things that we give ourselves to who we are. And sometimes that journey takes a long time, as you've heard me say. We become who we are until we're 40, and then after that, we try to figure out who it is that we become. So that's what he's doing now. He's trying to figure out, who am I? What are my jobs? My gifts. And the other thing he said is, I have to start putting other people ahead of myself. Now that's a big one. That's one of the harder things, especially in a culture that's all about me. How do we continually learn that it is the community that's important? See, God made us not as individuals, but as individuals in community. And we can never, even though, like the friend of my child said, I can find it all inside myself, we can't. And if we do, the path isn't a path to adulthood. I pretty much believe that. But it's a path to continued childhood. And many of us are there. So I wanted to add one other thing to his ideas about what is important in adulthood. And I think, I get this from Wilder's book, and that is that adults learn how to return to joy camp. when we are out of sorts, when we're depressed, and I'm not talking about maybe clinical depression or things that need extra help, but when we're in our normal lives and we get down, we want to stay in bed instead of getting up. Adult knows how to return to joy camp and get up. Or when we're in a position where we get angry, and many of us do, but we know how to return to joy camp. We know what to do with that anger. That's adultness. When we're in the middle of a conflict, we know how to handle that. Then we return to joy. That is part of growing up. So I feel like that's one of the big important things. So, amen, Marius, you're on your way. So as I end, I want to ask you, whose house are you in? Are you in God's house? Are you on the path where you can ask your questions and search for your answers towards a mature, grown-up adulthood? Now, even if you're old, like me, I'm not there. I know many of you think I am, but I'm not. I have a lot of things I need to learn. And even now, Belen, this child, is teaching me again about how to grow. I heard a story, I was telling it to Jim. I'm trying to think of where, at graduation. I went to Scott's graduation and Megan Good was telling a story about, this was never in my practice. I wasn't gonna practice. Okay, should I tell this or not? But she was talking about this person who died kind of caught in some things that she didn't really believe in. And she had this, Megan Good, she had this experience of being overwhelmed by the spirit who said, don't worry about it. She was dying. When she dies, she just the picture of God is just going to burst out and she's going to see something greater than she's ever seen before. Do you remember that story? I thought that was such a good story. Our journey never ends. Praise be to God. But we have a path. We have a choice. We can grow and grow and mature and become better because we are following the one who is, 100% mature. That's Jesus. I want to say this yet, too. I was going to close. But I've studied Bowen. You know, Bowen, Murray Bowen, Family Systems. He has a continuum of maturity. He calls it differentiation, 0 to 100. Most of us are 20, 30. There's all this place up here, you know. He often said Jesus was an example of somebody that was fully differentiated. So that's who we're following. There's something whole. So I invite you to consider again, whose house are you in? What house are you leaving and coming to? Who are you following? May we move and walk toward a conscious awakening in the house of God. Amen.
Our first song of response is number 91 in your green, Sing the Journey. Number 91.
Thank you. book, number 95. I want to walk as a child of the light.